Father, we just thank you right now for just who you are. We just let go of everything that would hinder us from being able to experience you more fully, being able to hear your word and to take it in and to understand it, and not just understand, but also to apply it to our lives. And so, Lord, I just decrease and I ask that you increase and let the words that come out of my mouth not be my own words, my own opinions, but let it be words of life that would just touch and transform and heal. You know what everyone needs today. And I just thank you that with this word, you will help us all to get what we need and to grow thereby from your word. And so I just thank you. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for each person under the sound of my voice. Whatever the need is that they may have, I just pray that right now you are supplying it and that you are giving them peace and giving them hope and showing them a great future that you have for them, for each and every one of us. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this series that we've been in has been a perspective on Christian freedom. And today I want to provide you with a perspective that will hopefully stretch you further, deepen your understanding on the matter. And always for me lately, I guess I've been in this space where as Christ followers, I always want to start with the words of Christ. And so I have a lot of scriptures that I cover, but I'm only going to probably read three of them. And so one scripture is Luke 4:18, which you've heard before. That's the voice version is the Bibles that we use, page 1246. And then also John 8:31-36 in the voice version, that's page 1302. And so those will be the two scriptures that I start with. And I'm going to list off a bunch of scriptures. And if you like, Elder, that's you're going too fast or something, you know, shoot me a message afterwards. I'll repeat it maybe once or twice. But since the list is so long that I'll read out, we don't necessarily need to kind of wait for me to read those multiple times. But we'll start with Luke 4:18. Again, in the voice version, that is page 1246. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal One, is on me. Why? Because the Eternal designated me to be his representative to the poor, to preach good news to them. He sent me to tell those who are held captive that they can now be set free, and to tell the blind that they can now see. He sent me to liberate those held down by oppression." The next scripture is John 8:31-36. And again, that is voice page 1302. And it says, "Even though many believe, they cannot imagine what he means about the lifting up of the Son of Man. Jesus, to the new Jewish believers, he said, 'If you hear my voice and abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and that truth will give you freedom.' The Jewish believers, we are Abraham's children, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say to us, 'You will be set free'?" Verse 34, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who commits sin surrenders his freedom to sin. He is a slave to sin's power. Even a household slave does not live in the home like a member of the family, but a son belongs there forever. So think of it this way. If the Son comes to make you free, you will really be free." And I just kept saying, what is the nature of this freedom, this liberty that Jesus is speaking of? I started out by looking up various Hebrew and Greek words for free and liberty, and I referenced these scriptures. This is that long list of scriptures, but I referenced these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:17, John 8:36, 1 Corinthians 6:12, Galatians 5:1, Galatians 5:13-14, Ephesians 3:12, Psalms 119:45, Acts 13:38-39, Romans 6:22, 1 Peter 2 and 16, Colossians 1:21 through 23, Romans 8, 1 through 4, Galatians 2 and 4, Isaiah 61 and 1, and of course, what I just read was Luke 4 and 18. So I know that's a long list. If you want that long list, just shoot me a message. But I looked up the Hebrew and the Greek words in those scriptures that related to liberty or freedom. And I'm not even going to read out the Greek words to you and the Hebrew words because you'll be like, oh my goodness, I can't really understand them anyway. but they're about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words and different variations. One of the words is 3 different variations of the same word, but there are about 8 words in those scriptures for freedom and for liberty. And I found those words to mean, and you've heard the definition from others about freedom as well over the last couple of weeks, but I from those Greek words, from the Hebrew words, the definition came as a flowing, free run, liberty, release, pure liberty. I like that when I saw pure liberty. It means to open, as in opening one's eyes. It means to release from bondage or imprisonment. It also means forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Like, I thought that was pretty powerful. It's forgiveness or pardon of sins and letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of the penalty. Liberty to do or to omit things having no relation to salvation. Freedom from the yoke of the Mosaic law. It's freedom from Jewish errors so blinding the mental vision that it does not discern the majesty of Christ. Freedom from the dominion of corrupt desires, so that we do by the free impulse of the soul what the will of God requires. In short, what it means is that freedom is such that you are completely liberated, completely free, so that way there is nothing really holding you down, nothing holding you back, nothing keeping you from the promises that God has set out for you. God says that you are free. We know about that scripture that says that he has made you whiter than snow. It's a clean, blank slate, complete freedom. There is nothing out there where it's being held on you over your head in the sense of like, if you don't do exactly right, if you don't do exactly this or do exactly that, then you are going to prison. You are going to hell, you know, whatever, however you want to look at it. You are going into prison in some shape, form, or fashion. God, Jesus, what his message is that we have been set free completely and fully. As if you were a newborn, you know, but you're an adult. Okay. And so that's kind of what that freedom is. It is a very wide open space of freedom, not like freedom in like this little kind of defined space, but it's very open, the freedom that God has given you. So as I read the scriptures, as I examine the Greek and Hebrew words, as I research commentaries and articles on the subject of Christian freedom, I began to see a vision of prison. I've never been in jail or gone to prison, but based on what I've seen on TV or heard, it's a place that's meant to prevent people from living as freely as they would want to. There's a warden or a guard to tell prisoners what and when they can do something, when to sleep, what to eat, where to go, what kind of work to do. Choice is limited and rules are very strict. Prison is a punishment that restricts a person's freedom. The more I thought about this, the more I realized that there are all kinds of prisons, not just prisons that are not just physical prisons, such as in the criminal justice system, but we have mental, emotional, financial, spiritual prisons that are inside of us or that are imposed upon us. And it's restricting our freedom in a variety of ways. When Jesus proclaimed freedom in Luke 4 and in John 8, what he was saying was that he came to totally free us from those prisons or strongholds as we know them. So we might not think about, oh, I'm in prison or I'm in prison. But we all, for those of us who have been Christians for a long time, we all understand the word stronghold. We have strongholds that are imprisoning us and keeping us, you know, from what the full, you know, from the full life that the Lord has died to give us. But, you know, he came to totally free us from those prisons, from those strongholds that keep us from living the way he intended for us to live. To take it a step further, Jesus not only said he came to liberate us, he actually did liberate us. And the gospel message is to let us know that we are free. That right now we are totally and completely released from every form of imprisonment. We are washed white as snow, completely clean, and we can now live freely in him, following the laws that he has written in our heart. I am reminded regularly, I think about this so much, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 18. I know you've heard me read this before, talk about this before, but that's page 1491 in the Voice version of the Bible. But again, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 18 in the Voice, it says, "But when those days are over, says the Eternal One, I will make this kind of covenant with the people of Israel. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them upon their minds." And then he adds, "I will erase their sins and wicked acts out of my memory as though they had never existed." When there is forgiveness such as this, there is no longer any need to make an offering for sin. This is where Christian liberty stands. This is where Christian freedom is right now, that we have a God who has liberated us. And instead of having a bunch of external written laws that are out there that we would have to follow, he went back. And when Jesus died, it took us back to the original intent that God had, which was to have one-on-one fellowship with each and every one of us and to be in our hearts, and he's already in us, but be connected to our hearts and use our hearts as that communication channel by which we would talk about what it is that we are in this world to do, what we are in this world to be. And so you don't need written laws anymore, because the law is already on your heart. Every single person has that law in their heart that would guide them. And so as Christians, what Jesus, when he died, what he brought us back to was realizing that it's not about a bunch of external things anymore. It's about internally, I am speaking to you, I am leading you, I am guiding you. And if you would trust me, if you would believe in me, then I will tell you exactly what to do and how to do. And the reality is that some of these things may not be what other people understand. It's not about what other people understand. We have a God who is vast. We have a God who is full of creativity. He has made each and every one of us individuals. He has made us special in his sight, each and every one of us. And so what he's saying is, I will connect with you through your heart, and I will guide you in the things that you already love to do, in the things that you are already capable of doing, and in some cases, things that you don't even think you're capable of. But he's saying that I will connect with you, and I will lead you, and I will guide you, and we will make a difference in the world together in that way. And so that's what Christian liberty is all about. That is where it stands. God is working through our hearts, sharing his law, leading us in the path of righteousness. I know sometimes it's hard for us to live in this liberty, hard for us to accept that we have and can make choices. We have religion and the world telling us what and how to believe. Amidst all the noise from the voice of others, we miss the voice of God telling us the good news that we are free. Free to think, free to make decisions, free from sin and condemnation, free to live in Christ in line with our conscience. I started to think about how people who are free from prison act once they get out. And I went and I wanted to find like this great story that I could read to you. And, you know, all these creative ideas, you know, I try to figure out creative ways to do it, but it was too much. I would have been reading for a long time. So I'll just kind of summarize it. But, you know, as I read these stories from these people who were freed from prison after being in there for 5 years or more, what I found is that they didn't know how to act. They had become so used to someone telling them what they could and couldn't do for so long that freedom was overwhelming and scary. It took a lot of time to adjust. In some cases, they still acted as if they were in prison, eating at a certain time or asking permission for things that they didn't need permission for anymore. One guy, when he had been processed and it was time for him to go home, he was free to go. He instead sat down and he was just sitting in the chair after they let him go. And the guard came up to him and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he was like, "You're free to leave." And the guy was just like, "Oh." And he got up and he left. But he didn't even, at the point that he was free, he didn't know what was to do. It was so disorienting, you know, that he just sat down in the chair, still in the prison. And they're like, they laughed at him, actually. The guards were laughing at him, actually. They were like, "He doesn't even know what to do." But that's sometimes what it is. It's disorienting to go from such structure to this place of freedom. People in the military or any highly disciplined work environment, they probably also know what this is like. Kids who go from high school to college probably know what this is like as well. You go from someone telling you exactly what to do in high school to no one making you go to class in college. And the freedom can be too much for some people. And they end up failing because they don't know how to live at higher levels of freedom. Even think about the children of Israel. They were set free from slavery only to go into the wilderness and complain about not having the food and the accommodations and different things that they had. They even started making an idol god so that they could have something to serve that they could see, that they could kind of touch and feel. You know, they didn't know what to do with their freedom or how to live in their freedom. But that's not how we should be. We have to recognize that we have a greater degree of freedom in Christ, a degree of freedom that allows us to be active participants in the work of God in this earth. And there are two keys that we have to be aware of as we live out freedom. One, you know what I'm going to say? Love. And the second thing is to guard our hearts. Christ has given us two commandments upon which we can hang everything else. He says, "Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Secondly, we are encouraged to guard our hearts with diligence because out of it flows the issues of life. Our heart is the source of God's communication with us. And if we don't do a good job of guarding our heart, then we block his ability to communicate with us and guide us by his spirit. I mean, again, back to Hebrews 10, he wants to use our hearts to work in this earth. He wants to use our hearts as a guide for us so that he can work through us in this earth. The only way he's going to do that is if we're careful about what we're putting in our heart, you know, and that's really the thing that God, so you don't necessarily need all these outer rules, because if you have that rule of love, if you have that rule in your mind of saying, "I want my heart to be open and clear so that God can speak to me and move through me," then you're only going to do certain things anyway. You're going to be mindful about the things you take in. You're going to be mindful about the things you say. You're going to be mindful about how you act, because it's about guarding that precious space, that precious place of communion between you and God. And so it's so important for us to just realize that the law of God is in our heart. The law of God is in our mind, and it's guiding us and it's helping us. You know, our only job is to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. James 1 and 25 talks about this. He says, you have to look into the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? It is the word of God. You keep looking into the word of God and you see what his words are saying, those words of freedom, those words of truth, those words of peace, those words of love. And as you look into that, It will remind you of who you are. And that's why it's so important to meditate on the word regularly, because that word is reminding you who you are. It's reminding you that you're free. It's reminding you of what you can do, not what you can't do, not what you're not necessarily supposed to do. It's reminding you of who you are. And if you focus on, I am a person of love, I am a person of peace, then you will be that person of love. You will be that person of peace. In my mind, it's just that simple. And as I was thinking about this, and there's so many other things that I want to say, but I really want to kind of keep it focused to help us to start thinking about, what does the freedom in Christ really look like? What is it really? You know, it's not a bunch of rules to try to keep you in line in some way. It's and we always get so concerned about, you know, growing up, you know, and being in the church, they tell you about the straight and narrow path, and they tell you about the wide path and everything. And so we get so concerned because we're like, oh my goodness, we've got to make sure we're on that straight and narrow path. Well, sometimes that straight and, you know, the reality is that maybe the straight and narrow path is not as narrow as what we think it is, or as narrow as what other people tell us it is, but we just don't. Because we're getting out of prison, we're not used to whatever that freedom really is. It's wider than what we're thinking. And that's what I wanted to get across today, is that what if we started thinking about what that freedom looks like? Because it's not necessarily about freedom for ourselves. That's important. But it's about having a more in-depth view, or a wider view of freedom, because it's our job as ambassadors to really be offering that freedom to other people. That is what, when I was looking at, I'm always asking myself, what is the gospel message? You know, because we always talk about, I got to share the gospel. But I never really was clear on what that gospel message is. And so I keep looking at it, and I feel like every day, you know, every time I come back to that question for myself, I define it a little differently. But I think today, more than anything, what I see that gospel message is exactly what Jesus said in Luke 4. He said he came to set the captives free. He came to give sight to the blind. The message is that of liberation, that of freedom. So the gospel is to tell people, not only did Jesus come to set you free, but Jesus actually did set you free. And it's not that Jesus set you free so that the church can come in and impose a bunch of rules on you and put you back in bondage. He set you free so that you can connect with him in the way that makes sense to you, so that that way he can speak to you as you are. We are not the same. We are all very different people. We see the world very differently. We experience the world very differently. And so I can give you a parameter. I can give you the framework. But I can't tell you exactly what to do, because you're different from me and I'm different from you. But we all have that same law of love to guide us. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us and to teach us. And if we are all going after those same things in terms of love, in terms of connecting with the Holy Spirit and hearing the voice of God in our hearts, then guess what? We are all moving in unity in the same direction. And that one God who is over us all will help us all to get from point A to point Z, and along the way, live a very fulfilling life and help others to live that free and fulfilling life that they were meant to live. That is what the message is. He came that we might have life to the full, until it overflows, abundant life. But sometimes it's so difficult to allow that abundant life, because we need those rules. We need those restrictions, because that's kind of how we started as a civilization. People were always giving us rules and guidelines and rituals and things like that. So we don't know how to live outside of that. But today, what I want to do is set myself free, set you free, to really say, to ask yourself those hard questions. Is this what God really intended for me? Is this what God intended for those around me? You know, because if you can open up your mind and heart to that, then Imagine the freedom that you could allow for somebody else that would fully set them free and those chains fall off them. And then they begin to walk in that life, in that fullness of life that God intended. I'm not saying that everybody's going to get what I'm saying today, but I'm hoping that a couple of us will get it, because some of us have to be a little more radical, a little more ambitious, you know, than like Jesus. He went in and he overturned stuff, you know. He had a new way of thinking, a new way of being that wasn't constrained in the same way as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them. And so what does that look like today? That is what I'm trying to get at. People have taken Jesus and put him into a box in a way, but Jesus didn't come in a box. He didn't. He came and he uprooted that stuff, you know? So how do we get to a place where we set ourselves free so that we can be like him, to go out into this world and look at the spaces that we're in and say, okay, how do I uproot this? You know, how do I uproot this, you know, tradition and different things like that, that's putting strongholds on people so that they can be free. That's what we are here for. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. And it's so funny because this song came into my mind, and it's not a Christian song, but it's okay. Don't be mad. It was a song by Lauryn Hill. And all I could hear was just this one or two lines where it says, it could all be so simple, but you'd rather make it hard. And I feel like God is singing that to us. He is saying, it's so simple. But you guys, as human beings, you just want it to be hard for whatever reason. But he's saying, let's stop making it hard. You know, let's stop making up unnecessary rules and rituals that keep us in bondage and unable to take full advantage of the freedom that Christ died to give us. Let's commit to allowing the Holy Spirit to help us push beyond our boundaries into a place that flows with unconditional love and freedom, so we can see the creativity of God manifest through us to reach people who need the gospel message that Christ has set you free in every way imaginable. And all you have to do is believe on him and walk faithfully every day in love. It's just that simple. So I pray that you get that it makes sense to you, at least even in the slightest. If it makes sense to you, I pray that it just helps you take that one step further out into freedom, you know, so that way, as you live a life of freedom, then it, you know, we always say that sometimes our lives are the only Bible that people will ever read. And so if we live in a way that is constrained, then people will look at the gospel and say, oh, that's what that is. But if we can live in a way that is free, in a way that flows with love, then people will look at that and say, that's the gospel I want. That's the message that I want to connect to. And we will see transformation. And so I pray for transformation today for each and every one of us, so that we can really tap into what God intended for us. And so with that, if you bow your heads, we'll pray. Father, I pray that this word of freedom be solidified in our hearts. Open our eyes, expand our vision to see how we can share this message with others, not in word only, but also through our actions. Help us to live simply and not make this harder than it needs to be. Let your love engulf our heart and mind in ways that allow us to be renewed and transformed by you. Your life in us is bigger than we think. So help us to live bigger. Help us to live free. Free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.